Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition for Saturday, November 20th, 2021. Andrews ISD bus collision kills three. Bus carrying band members crashes into truck driving the wrong way on I-20. By Stuart Doreen. Three people are dead after a catastrophic collision Friday involving an Andrews ISD bus taking members of the high school's marching band to Sweetwater for a playoff football game. Department of Public Safety Sergeant Justin Baker said Friday that an F-350 Ford was driving the wrong way on I-20 around mile marker 179 for unknown reasons when his vehicle collided with an Andrews ISD bus traveling eastbound. The collision killed the driver of the Ford 350, caused significant damage to the first of three Andrews ISD buses traveling in the eastbound lanes, and resulted in three people being airlifted to Lubbock. One of those people died. The two students airlifted to Lubbock were in critical but stable condition, according to Baker. He later told the Reporter Telegram that one person inside the Andrews ISD bus died at the scene. Baker also said that 11 students were transported to a Big Spring medical facility for non-life-threatening injuries. Andrews ISD, in a message Friday night, reported, "Please know that all kids are accounted for and being treated." Andrews ISD Superintendent Bobby Azam was traveling around 15 cars behind the buses, he said Friday night. He called the events tragic, was appreciative for the Big Spring community and the support it showed, and asked the West Texas region for its continued prayers and support. "We'll get through tonight, but the tough part will be the days to come. Prayers are with those still receiving services and those who have lost loved ones. There will be some long days, but we are West Texas and people have already pulled together tonight." Baker said the investigation is ongoing. He also said it was premature Friday evening to provide identities on either of the people who died as a result of the collision. Azam again was complimentary of Big Spring officials like Mayor Shannon Thomason, who put their own emergency plans together and provided an area at the Athletic Training Center at Big Spring High School for those from Andrews to gather and receive services. "I can't thank first responders enough, the community, Big Spring ISD, all the people. It is made doable. We can't say thank you enough." Andrews High School was set to play Springtown in a Class 4A area round playoff game in Sweetwater. The game was canceled until further notice, according to a statement from the school district. "It reminds you of what's important," Azam said. "We were excited and we were energetic, and then reality kicked in." Area school districts, state leaders expressed support for Andrews ISD. Districts across the Permian Basin in West Texas are reaching out to show their support for Andrews ISD after a bus crash Friday in Big Spring. Reports Friday night showed that the bus carrying the Andrews High School band to a football playoff game was involved in a collision. The Texas Department of Public Safety confirmed there were fatalities, although Andrews ISD has reported all students were accounted for. The reaction on Twitter included Lamisa ISD saying, "Lamisa ISD extends our thoughts and prayers to the entire Andrews community and the Andrews band." Seminole ISD said, "Our thoughts and prayers are with our neighbors and friends at Andrews." Crane ISD said, "Crane HS is praying for the Andrews High School band and Andrews ISD." Shallowwater ISD said, "Our thoughts and prayers are with Andrews." The tweet includes an increase from the words pray for Andrews. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, a Republican from Odessa, wrote Friday night on his Twitter account, "Please say a prayer for the Andrews ISD community and for everyone involved in this tragedy." Landgraf's district currently includes Andrews County. Senator Ted Cruz wrote on Friday night on his Twitter account, "Heidi and I are praying for the Andrews ISD community, especially for those involved in this horrendous bus crash near Big Spring. May they find comfort during these tragic times." State Representative Kim King, whose district is set to take in Andrews next in 2023, wrote, "An Andrews ISD bus was in an accident earlier. My office is in contact with the DPS and currently assessing the situation. Join me in sending prayers to everyone involved. Our children are our greatest treasure. We will continue to monitor the situation and provide assistance." Other groups offering their support included Midland High Golf, Legacy High School Dolls, Lady Rebels Basketball, and LHS Rebel Hoops. Assaults at school prompt concerns. Public calls for more security after fights at Legacy Freshman, by Stuart Doreen. A number of comments during the public comment period at Monday's MISD board meeting mentioned a lack of security and safety at Legacy Freshman School. The comments included student fighting, assaults to students and staff, and an increased number of physical confrontations. A mob mentality was described, including an incident that took place on November 12th, when an alleged fight spilled out of the school and into the streets. The feeling, according to a teacher at Legacy, was, "What happens when they figure out they outnumber us?" A mother of a Legacy freshman student told the board her son was assaulted in the bathroom when other Legacy freshman students broke off a piece of a sink and heaved it over a stall door, injuring her son to the point that he missed his last football game and couldn't take part in basketball tryouts. Midland ISD officials responded later in the week to the pleas for safety and security and to the end of the Snapchat fights taking place on campus. According to a different speaker, the year started out with a fight before the first period of the first day of school. Another teacher said the number of total fights has surpassed more than 40 this year. Charles Garcia, associate superintendent for the district, told the Reporter Telegram later in the week that the district always takes seriously reports of physical altercations and student misbehavior. "We've been monitoring the situation," and said district leaders have listened and responded just like we would any campus. He said security has been stepped up, including additional officer support. "We will continue to be visible at this campus as much as possible." On Friday, Superintendent Angelica Ramsey wrote in her weekly report to parents and staff that she reiterated her commitment to safe and supportive learning environments in MISD. "Every student deserves to go to school to a welcoming and secure environment." She added that the following steps are being taken across the district to support safety and security. Installation of access control technology at Midland Freshman, Goddard, Coleman, San Jacinto, Alamo. This adds to access control systems already in place at the rest of our campuses. Hiring of additional MISD Police Department personnel. Increased presence of District Service Center staff as hall monitors and campus administrative support as needed. When asked if some students had been impacted by not being on campus because of the COVID pandemic, Garcia said it would be nice to have upperclassmen on campus to help set a standard, but there is no excuse for having a safe environment, and the district will address concerns and build the framework to establish a good character-building environment for the kids. Anders pleads guilty to fleeing from police, by Caitlin Randall. Ty Anders, the Midland man who made national news when a video of police pointing guns at him went viral, pleaded guilty Friday morning to a misdemeanor charge of fleeing from a law enforcement officer. The Class B misdemeanor is punishable by up to 180 days in prison and a $2,000 fine. A sentencing date had not yet been set as of Friday afternoon. Anders was originally indicted by a Midland County grand jury for evading arrest with a motor vehicle, a third-degree felony, following a May 16th incident in which he failed to pull over after running a stop sign. He instead continued driving until he reached his grandmother's house, a distance of 2 blocks. A bystander video of Anders' arrest showing several Midland police officers pointing guns at him as he lay in the grass went viral on social media. The video received renewed scrutiny following the death of George Floyd, who died after a Minneapolis police officer knelt on his neck during an arrest. The City of Midland released body and dashboard camera footage of the incident in response to public outcry and allegation by Anders' attorney that he had been struck by an officer during his arrest. The footage shows an officer restraining Anders at one point, but does not show him being hit by any officers. Footage from the arresting officer's dashboard camera shows that it took about 20 seconds for Anders to pull over after the officer initiated the stop. The officer can then be heard telling Anders to exit his vehicle, and he steps out of the vehicle about 6 minutes later. Anders can be heard saying in the video from the patrol car after he was arrested that he was afraid to get out of his car when the officer asked him to because the officer had been following him. He said he was calling his parents as the officers directed him to get out of the car. The guilty plea Friday to misdemeanor fleeing from a police officer negates the original felony charge. However, Anders is still facing a felony stalking charge in an unrelated matter, according to District Attorney Laura Nodoff. Local jobless rate down 9% from a year ago, by Mella McEwen. Midland labor market continues its steady recovery from the double whammy of the COVID pandemic and the oil market crash. The Texas Workforce Commission said Friday the unemployment rate in Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Midland and Martin counties, dipped to 4.7% in October and is well below the 8.8% reported a year ago. It is the MSA's lowest rate since last March, when Midland reported 3.4% unemployment rate. "Everything is holding steady," said Willie Taylor, chief executive officer. "Yeah, I think it's good for this time of year, the fourth quarter, for companies to hold on to their workforce. Fewer residents are receiving unemployment benefits. People are definitely going back to work. The main challenge to people returning to the workforce is child care." His office has received $7.7 million in funding to assist with child care. Those who are deemed eligible for child care assistance can have 100% of their costs reimbursed, and that's guaranteed for a full year. The other issue is a need for skilled workers. He said he sees both Midland College and Odessa College with full training classes, and his office is working with area school districts on career technical programs. He said those programs offer training in everything from welding to HVAC, information technology to medical assistance. "Hopefully, we'll see more folks come into the workforce in 2022. The area will be facing a skilled worker shortage for some time," he predicted, explaining it takes time to develop those skills. Midland's civilian workforce remained above the 100,000 level for a second month, adding almost 400 from September. The number of employed Midlanders jumped by 570 to 95,656. The number of unemployed Midlanders fell by almost 200. The total non-farm job count is approaching 100,000 as Midland added 800 jobs from September to October for a job count of 99,300. Statewide, the unemployment rate fell from 5.4% to 5.6% in September. Texas added 56,600 jobs during the month. Since the last October, the state has added 661,300 jobs. Amarillo reported the lowest unemployment rate at 3.3%, followed by Austin, Round Rock, College Station, Bryan, and Beaumont, Port Arthur. Crude and gas prices retreating from seven-year highs, by Mella McEwen. Crude prices are retreating from seven-year highs as a worsening COVID crisis in Europe raises the prospect of lockdowns, just as the U.S. and China consider adding supply to the market by tapping their strategic reserves. Bloomberg reported Friday the biggest drop in prices since August as the December contract for West Texas Intermediate, which expired Friday, skidded 3.7%. WTI on the New York Exchange sank $2.91 to close at $76.10. WTI rose 2 to 5 trading days, rising 9 cents Monday and 65 cents Thursday. Natural gas prices on the NYMEX rose 4 of 5 trading days, overcoming Wednesday's 36 cent drop. As always, there's a lot going on in the market. Ray Perriman told the Reporter-Telegram. The biggest wild card is what several other countries do in terms of production. Just modeling it over the next year shows that supply and demand will likely be reasonably balanced at a price in the 70s or low 80s per barrel. However, he said there are situations where a combination of delivery bottlenecks, extreme weather, and speculation push prices much higher, as well as those where major production increases above current expectations push them lower. All of that is to say that I expect prices to stay in the general vicinity of where they are now for a while, but I wouldn't be shocked by a move in either direction. Cal McGraw, president of Trinidad Energy, said that the current price levels are much better for the Permian Basin than last year. He added that his company is struggling to find equipment like tubulars for operation. The tubular supply hasn't been this tight in a while. We're like consumers planning for Christmas, he said. McGraw predicted supplies will remain constrained in part because the rig count is not as high as it could have been given the healthy commodity prices. The rig count could be higher, but the majors heard from investors loud and clear that they need to pay dividends. The industry heard that and is doing that. But if we get any hint the market wants us to grow, we will grow. Those supply constraints and President Biden's view that hydrocarbons need to go away tend to weigh on the market. The U.S. Energy Information Administration is predicting that the falling inventories and rising crude prices seen in the third quarter as consumption growth outpaced production growth will come to an end. In its November short-term energy outlook, the agency forecasts that rising production from U.S. producers, as well as members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and other producing countries, will add to increased inventories and falling crude prices. We estimate world crude consumption exceeded crude production in five consecutive quarters, starting in the third quarter of 2020. During this period, petroleum inventories fell by 424 million barrels, or 13%. We forecast global crude oil demand will exceed global supply through the end of the year, contribute to some additional inventory draws, and keep the Brent crude price above $80 a barrel through December. However, we forecast that global inventories will begin building in 2022, driven by rising production from OPEC and the United States and slowing growth in global oil demand. The agency forecasts that Brent, the international crude benchmark, will fall from an average of $84 a barrel in October to $66 a barrel in December, December 2022. Likewise, West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. benchmark, will fall from an average of $81 a barrel in October to $62 next December. Joyce Jenkins Woodard went to be with the Lord on September 12th, 5 days shy of 94 years old. A celebration service was held September 18th. Deanna June Swales Whitaker passed away on November 17th. Visitation will be Monday, November 22nd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Tuesday, November 23rd at 10 a.m. at the Pipkin Chapel. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Services are under the direction of Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Manuel Heredia from Midland passed away unexpectedly November 16th. Family and friends are invited to attend a viewing anytime from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday the 21st at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home in Midland. Services are Monday the 22nd at Renew Life Church in Midland. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Services are under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Martha Callis passed away on November 18th. The family will receive friends from 5 p.m. Monday at the branch at Nellie Pickham Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on Tuesday at St. Anne's Church, Catholic Church in Midland. graveside will be held on Tuesday, November 23rd at 2 p.m. at Trinity Memorial Park in Big Spring. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin West Funeral Home in Midland. Martha Royce Gilliland Long passed away on November 12th. Graveside rites were held Tuesday, November 16th at the Llano City Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Waldrop Hatfield Hawthorne Funeral Home in Llano. Melvin Lee Burdick died in Amarillo on November 14th. Services will be held on Tuesday, November 23rd at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Jimmy D. McMillan, formerly of Midland, passed away on Sunday, November 7th. A private celebration of Jimmy's life will be scheduled at a later date at one of the Hill Country area lakes. Reverend Audrey Lee Jackson passed away on November 14th. Visitation will be held on November 20th from 9 to 5 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral service will take place on November 22nd at 11 a.m. at Faith Temple Church of God in Midland. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Online condolences may be received at asanchezTFH.com. Virginia Silva O'Gean passed away October 11th in Reno, Nevada. Services for Vicki were held in Reno, Nevada with family and friends.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, November 20th. Andrews Band Bus in Fiery Wreck. Trooper says multiple fatalities as group on way to Sweetwater. Texas Department of Public Safety Sergeant Justin Baker confirmed to the Odessa American over the phone Friday evening there were multiple fatalities in a collision involving an Andrews High School band bus that was on its way to a football game in Sweetwater. Baker said that troopers were on scene investigating the crash. He also said that he will have more details later on. As far as the fatalities, Baker said, we probably won't release that for a while until all the next of kin have been notified. The game was scheduled in Sweetwater on Friday night against Springtown. The game was canceled, but it was not clear as of press time when it would be rescheduled. Our administrators are there and working to serve the needs of our students and their families. We cannot confirm anything else at this time, Andrews ISD Public Relations Coordinator Jessica McKernan said via text. Baker, who is stationed in San Angelo, said that he was headed that way as of 5:42 p.m. Friday. Some patients were air-flighted to Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring. ECSO welcomes 21 new patrol units to Fleet, by Royal McGregor. On Friday afternoon, Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths showed off 21 new patrol units that will join the Ector County Sheriff's Office. The patrol units are 2022 Chevrolet Tahoes that feature a white paint job with blue and yellow lettering. There is also a black grill guard mounted on each one. The cost for the 21 patrol units was $1.5 million. ECSO's newest patrol units will also serve as take-home vehicles for deputies, an incentive that was previously offered to a limited number of people working at ECSO. Griffiths explained the take-home option is a great recruiting and retention tool for the sheriff's office. People can take pride in their own unit because they know this is their unit and they will take better care of it, Griffiths said. We were the only ones in this area that didn't have take-home units. Griffiths said he expects at least 4 of the 21 units to be in the streets next week. He said the others will be on patrol as soon as they are finished being equipped with docking stations, dash cam, and other necessities. Griffiths explained there are patrol units on the streets now that have 150,000 to 200,000 miles. They are driven pretty hard, so these new units will be more dependable, Griffiths said. Currently, ECSO patrol units have a silver paint job and blue and yellow lettering. The white paint job was the only option for the sheriff's office. Griffiths said if the sheriff's office waited for different colored patrol units, it would be at least another year before they would have been delivered to ECSO. I think the new units look great, Griffiths said. I really do. Griffiths said one patrol unit can be used by four different people throughout the week. With the new patrol units, Griffiths said he hopes it lifts the morale of deputies at ECSO. If you have happy employees, you have happy customers, Griffiths said. Everything we do have the desired end result to protect our community. If our deputies are happy with where they are working, they're going to do a good job for our good people. ECISD superintendent appalled by Burger King fight. Saying that he was absolutely appalled by Friday's report of a mass fight at Burger King at 1920 East 42nd Street, Superintendent Scott Murray issued an apology to the restaurant staff, customers, and those outside who witnessed the event. In a Zoom call Friday evening, Murray said he became aware of the incident late Friday morning involving ECISD students. The incident, which resulted in the arrest of two juveniles, occurred at 8:55 a.m. The Odessa Police Department said in a text that the investigation is ongoing. After learning of the incident and the details of that incident, I was absolutely appalled at the behavior of the students that were involved in that particular incident. So I certainly like to issue an apology to the staff, the customers of Burger King, and those outside the area that witnessed the event, Murray said. That type of behavior is completely unacceptable. We do not tolerate that on any of our campuses, and nor should we tolerate that in our community. I can assure you that we as a school system, our teachers, our staff members, our members of law enforcement, will work diligently to ensure that each of the students involved in this incident today are provided the appropriate level of consequences for the school, Murray said. Then we are also talking with law enforcement, ECISD police, as well as the Odessa Police Department, to ensure that legal consequences are also provided to those students. It is still unknown how many students were involved or what charges have been brought against the two that were arrested. Murray stressed that Friday's incident is only representative of a small group of students among the district's 32,000 students. This type of behavior is not accepted and typically is not displayed. Our students are incredible individuals. They come to school every day ready to learn, eager to learn, excited to engage in the learning opportunities that we provide for them. This type of behavior simply is unacceptable and not reflective of what we expect, nor typically see in and among students of ECISD. So, once again, our apologies to the staff and community that witnessed this incident today. We will do better as a school system. We will work with our parents and families to ensure that the behavior of our children, not only on school property, but off school property, is what we would expect, that is demonstrative of a citizen living within our community. Asked if it was related to bullying behavior, Murray said he doesn't have enough detail as to what started it or specifically what led to it. He said this will be learned over the next several days. What is learned will determine what kind of consequences the students will face, he said. We do not have a number of students that were involved. We are working with Burger King. They obviously have video capture material, and our police department, as well as the Odessa Police Department, will be using that information to help piece together this incident to make sure that we can provide appropriate consequences for students involved. But I do not have a number of students at this time, Murray said. He said the school administration started their investigation Friday, as did the OPD and ECISD police. I'm, again, not certain as to how many students have been interviewed. I do know that those interviews will continue once we returned from the holiday break. Some of the students were Permian High School students, Murray said. However, he doesn't know how many, and he said he doesn't know of any injuries at this time. In preventing future incidents, Murray said ECISD as a system can help ensure that students are good citizens, talk to them about the treatment of others, the kindness that we should all offer each other. We do that in partnership with our families, so I encourage moms and dads to engage in conversations with their children tonight. Anytime a child leaves home, or anytime our kids leave school, we want to arm them with some words of wisdom that can ensure that their behavior is representative and reflective of, in our case, the school system, or reflective of the family unit. I think we, as far as prevention is concerned, must do this together. By working together, these type of incidents can certainly be prevented in the future. It's going to require all of us working together. The amount of discipline issued is going to depend on the specific offense. As our administrators investigate, they will look at individual students to determine their level of involvement in today's incident. And if their level of involvement requires some form of consequence, then we will certainly administer those, Murray said. So there could be a wide range of consequences, again, depending on the behaviors that the students displayed. Murray added that most students came to school Friday and had a great day of learning. That is the expectation that we have of our students every day. That is the expectation that most of our students have when they enter our buildings. They come wanting to learn, and it is also the expectation our parents have for their children. So again, today's behavior is not in any way reflective of the vast majority, 99% of students, that enter our buildings every day, and we will continue to partner with our community to ensure that these types of things do not occur ever again within the city of Odessa and Ector County, Murray said. Man convicted, sentenced to life in connection to fatal shooting. An Ector County jury convicted a 39-year-old man to the fatal shooting of a 31-year-old woman. Damien Dubree Smith, 39, was convicted November 12th of murder, a first-degree felony. The second count of murder was dismissed. He was sentenced to life in prison at a Texas Department of Criminal Justice correctional institution. The jury trial took place in the 161st District Courtroom of Judge Justin Lowe, court records detailed. Kevin Schultz, Scott Turner, and Henry Eccles prosecuted the case, while Brett Mansour and Felice Abalos were represented Smith. Smith was indicted by an Ector County grand jury on October 8th in connection to the death of 31-year-old Crystal Ariza. The other two women who were also arrested, charged, and indicted in connection to the death of Ariza were 33-year-old Haley Staggs and 39-year-old Jennifer Portillo. Staggs and Portillo were both indicted with tampering or fabricating physical evidence with intent to impair. Both Staggs and Portillo remain in custody. At 2 a.m. December 6, 2020, officers were dispatched to the 500 block of North Lauderdale about a dead gunshot victim. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated, the victim was identified as Ariza as officers saw a gunshot wound to the left side of her face. Investigation reportedly showed recent Facebook conversations and phone calls on the victim's phone with a subject named Damien Dubree Smith and Haley Portillo. Smith stated he was going to have Ariza picked up at 1:30 a.m., and Ariza gave Haley her location to have them pick her up and further told them to contact Smith. Detectives learned that Smith was paroled out of the same house officers responded to in the 500 block of North Lauderdale Avenue. Detectives also identified Haley Portillo as Haley Staggs. Staggs was reportedly interviewed by detectives, and she stated that she and her girlfriend, Jennifer Portillo, picked up Ariza from the address provided to her through Facebook Messenger. Staggs stated they were driving a black Kia four-door when they picked up Ariza. Staggs stated that they were told by Smith to take Ariza to his residence in the 500 block of North Lauderdale Avenue. Ariza stated Smith was upset with her due to being short cash owed to him. Staggs reportedly detailed that she saw Smith put a firearm to Ariza's face and shoot her. Staggs stated Ariza was shot to the left side of her face. Staggs detailed during her interview that after the shooting, Smith fled the scene, and she and Portillo drug Ariza's body out of the car and left her on the street. Staggs stated they fled the scene and went to a friend's house in Odessa and got cleaning supplies. Staggs and Portillo reportedly started to clean their vehicle of the blood and evidence. Staggs and Portillo left Odessa and fled to Texarkana. Staggs also stated they found a shell casing in the vehicle and threw it out in a parking lot of a gas station in Snyder. What's going on? Production. The Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley Avenue, Midland, has scheduled Peter and the Starcatcher at 7:30 p.m. Fridays and 2:30 p.m. Saturdays, November 12th through December 11th. For tickets or information, visit www.mctmidland.org. Graffiti removal. Keep Odessa Beautiful are asking the public to report illegal graffiti at tinyurl.com/4m2de3aw. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club will work to get it removed. Paint donations and volunteers are also in need. To donate, volunteer, or for more information, call 432-335-4686. Email kob@odessa-tx.gov or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. TTUHSC names new diversity VP. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center has named Jody C. Randall as its new Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Randall currently serves as the founding director for the Office of LGBTQIA Education and Engagement and as an adjunct lecturer for Women's and Gender Studies at Texas Tech University. Randall is an experienced leader in facilitating change and fostering inclusion through the development and implementation of programming and services. As an action-oriented and passionate advocate and educator, Randall's efforts contributed to TTU being named among Campus Pride's Best of the Best, LGBTQ-friendly colleges and universities nationwide. TTUHSC President Lori Rice Spearman said this position will be responsible for oversight and strategic management of TTUHSC's efforts to strengthen our diverse and inclusive university community. Randall's new role will cultivate a learning and working environment that encourages and supports diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the TTUHSC community in alignment with the university's values-based culture. A health research institution should be one where diverse thought converges with academic excellence, Rice Spearman said. To have someone with the experience and expertise that Jody brings will further enhance our diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, conversation, and advance the TTUHSC community as representative of the population of individuals we are here to serve. Jody also is very plugged into the DEI community in higher education, and I have full confidence her reach will be of great benefit across the TTUHSC enterprise and in our sphere of influence in healthcare. Randall is active in leadership for the Gender and Sexuality Leadership Team for Student Affairs Administrators in Higher Education. She serves as president of the Jim Collins Foundation and Vice President of Texas Pride Impact Funds. Previously, she served on the Board of Directors for the Equality Federation Education Fund, Heartland Cares, Inc., Kentucky Fairness Alliance, and Texas Association of College and University Student Personnel Administrations. Randall received a Bachelor of Integrated Studies in Human Services and a Master of Science in Human Development and Leadership from Murray State University. Currently, she is pursuing a Doctor of Education in Leadership and Learning in Organizations through the Peabody College at Vanderbilt University. She received the TTU President's Excellence in Gender Equity Award in 2020 and an Inclusive Excellence Award in 2019. She received the President's Award for Diversity and Inclusion in 2013 at Murray State University, where she worked prior to coming to TTU. Randall will begin her position as Vice President January 1, 2022. Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, November 21st. Help the needy this Christmas season. Empty Stocking Fund celebrates 27 years. Bringing joy to a child's life during the holidays is as simple as a quick donation, and you can do it by mail, in person, or online. The Empty Stocking Fund will celebrate 27 years this holiday season when it kicks off on Thanksgiving Day. The Empty Stocking Fund is an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army. It is a pleasant surprise. The fund is off to a great start thanks to two early generous donations. The Wood Family Foundation donated $2,500. And the Walls family donated $350 early in honor of the late Bill Salter, a former Odessa American publisher who died this year. Salter started the Empty Stocking Fund in Odessa. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund stay in Odessa and help the neediest among us. Donors may drop off or mail donations at the Salvation Army, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Bank of America Building, Suite 800. Funds raised purchase ingredients for a holiday meal and small gift for children and needy senior citizens. Families apply for the help through the Salvation Army, and staff members verify the needs of those applying. Odessa American editor Laura Dennis said this year's goal is $100,000, which is the same as last year. Odessans were generous last year, although the goal was not met. In 2020, $55,054.29 was raised. After that first year of COVID, donations were down, but both the Salvation Army and the OA were grateful for the funds. While 2021 has also been a tough year with economic woes, as well as fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic, we are hopeful that Odessans will rally and help their neighbors by giving. A number of Odessans are struggling this year, and a happy holiday could be out of reach for them. That's where you and the Empty Stocking Fund come in. When you donate to the Empty Stocking campaign, you are helping struggling families by taking one less thing they have to worry about off their plate, and give families the opportunity to have a peaceful Christmas, Dennis said. This is the 27th year of the Empty Stocking Fund, and the total raised since it started is $2,114,251.13. All funds go to that good holiday meal and gifts under the Christmas tree. Gifts were handed out to about 280 Odessa families through both the Angel Tree and Empty Stocking Fund programs at Odessa's Salvation Army last year, just before Christmas. Last year, 1,200 children had a gift under the tree thanks to your generous giving. Major Laura Melendez of Odessa's Salvation Army said there are many needs during this second pandemic year. She said they expect to help 300 families with about 1,350 children this year. The empty stocking is unique to the Salvation Army in Odessa, as it adds additional funds to facilitate providing toys and food boxes to families in need during Christmas, Melendez said. The way the Empty Stocking fundraiser involves donors in a direct way by sharing their resources with those less fortunate is amazing. This will be the first year for Melendez at Odessa's Salvation Army. I've served in the Salvation Army for 18 years, and I've never seen such a big fundraiser to help the Angel Tree program. Empty Stocking is extraordinary. I'm impressed that the Odessa American is investing in the needs of those less fortunate in the community in such a powerful way. I'm looking forward to working alongside the Empty Stocking fundraiser and express my deepest gratitude to those donors who contribute to make it such a special fundraiser. This year's fundraising drive starts on Thanksgiving Day. Daily stories start on Thanksgiving Day in the OA and include real situations of those who have gone through the Empty Stocking Fund process and have provided proof of need. The OA uses fake names, but real situations. The OA also runs daily totals to keep up with how much money has been raised and how much is still needed to fill the empty stocking. Right before Christmas, the funds are used to purchase food and small gifts for children and seniors. We know there are many, many wonderful charities out there that do great work, Dennis said, but we are asking our friends and neighbors to again help. The Salvation Army makes sure that the neediest of Odessans know the joy of a great Christmas meal. We also want to help children celebrate the joy of the season with small gifts. The needs are dire this year with the COVID impact still going on. COVID has increased the needs of the less fortunate in all areas, as we have seen an increase for assistance in our social services, Melendez said. Really, we continue to provide the same services. It's just a little different the way we provide the service. For the Angel Tree program, we have implemented taking applications online rather than in person, so an online registration website has been created where parents enter all the household information and upload the documents needed, such as proof of address and valid ID. Some clients are asked to share their reason for applying in our office. We verify their documents and approve them for the program. Once approved, parents are given an appointment and time to pick up their toys and food boxes. But bringing joy to the holiday is the reason for giving. You have an opportunity to bring joy to a child in need. Please give because it will benefit those from our very own community. It's like helping a family member. And remember that giving is biblical. God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. The Salvation Army is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Call 432-332-0738. Other ways to help. Ring the bell. The Salvation Army needs volunteer bell ringers this Christmas season. Groups can sign up now to ring bells at a number of locations in Ector County. One afternoon of bell ringing during the Christmas Kettle Campaign can raise enough money for the Salvation Army to shelter a homeless person for 4 nights and provide 12 hot meals. To become a volunteer bell ringer, call 332-0738 or visit registertoring.com. That's www.registertoring.com to sign up. 3 dead following tragic crash. Andrews, mourning loss after Friday afternoon bus accident. The community of Andrews is mourning the loss of their band director and a longtime math teacher following the tragic crash of a bus carrying band students to a football playoff game Friday night in Sweetwater. The crash occurred near Big Spring and sent 13 students to area hospitals, including 11 to Scenic Mountain in Big Spring and 2 others to Lubbock's University Medical Center. There were three were killed in the crash. The band was on the way to support the Andrews Mustangs in an area playoff game in the second round of the Class 4A Division 1 against Springtown. The game was postponed until Monday following the crash. Among those killed was Andrews High School band director Darren K. Johns. The accident occurred at 4:02 p.m. Friday on Interstate 20, 2 miles east of Big Spring. His wife, Karen, was also injured in the wreck. A preliminary investigation showed a 2016 Ford F-350 truck was traveling westbound in the eastbound lanes of Interstate 20 for unknown reasons. A 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus and a 2018 Freightliner bus were traveling eastbound in the eastbound lanes of Interstate 20. The report issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety says the F-350 struck the 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus in the outside lane. The 2018 Freightliner bus also struck the Ford. The Ford caught fire upon impact. The report said the 2018 Freightliner sustained minor damage. The driver of the Ford truck, Nathan Paul Hale, 59, of Midland, was killed. The report stated he was not wearing a seatbelt and was pronounced dead by Justice of the Peace Kelly Seals. Mark Albert Boswell, 69, of Andrews, in the 2005 Motor Coach Industries bus, was also killed and was the driver of the bus as well as the statistician of the football team. He is a retired longtime math teacher who enjoyed driving the bus. He was wearing a seatbelt and was pronounced by Dr. Theophilus Pham. Johns, 53, of Andrews, was the passenger and was killed. He was pronounced dead by SEALs. Karen Gatney Johns, 53, of Andrews, was taken to Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring with non-incapacitating injuries. Additional passengers included 25 Andrews High School students. Two students were airlifted to University Medical Center in Lubbock with incapacitating injuries. 11 students were transported to Scenic Mountain Medical Center with non-incapacitating injuries, and the remaining 12 students were not injured. The investigation was conducted by Odessa, Texas Highway Patrol Sergeant John Schock and assisted by 4A District Crash Team, Texas Highway Patrol, Big Spring Police Department, Big Spring Fire Department, Howard County Sheriff's Office, and the Texas Department of Transportation. Jeff Whitaker, the director of bands at Permian High School, said he knew Johns pretty well and Johns was one of the nicest humans ever. Whitaker said Johns was a leader in the profession. Whitaker said Johns spent a huge part of his career in small schools. Messages of support have come in from across the state. Springtown ISD tweeted support of continued prayers for our friends in Andrews ISD. Both parties agreed to postpone tonight's football game. Governor Greg Abbott released a statement on the crash. Our hearts go out to those who were injured or lost their lives in the bus crash in Big Spring, and we grieve for the families of those taken too soon. The Texas Department of Public Safety is working closely with local officials to investigate this accident, and the state of Texas is ready to provide any additional resources and support needed to Andrews ISD, Big Spring, and those affected by this tragedy. I thank the first responders who rushed to the scene to help those involved in the crash, and I ask Texans to join me and Cecilia in prayer for those involved in this horrific accident. State Representative Brooks Landgraf on Saturday said counselors were on hand in Andrews for anyone who needed them. Please join Shelby and me in praying for everyone involved, everyone grieving, and especially Karen Johns, the Johns family, and the Boswell family. The wonderful community of Andrews can use every bit of support we can give right now. Lastly, thank you to the hardworking women and men of the Texas Department of Public Safety and other first responders for working so diligently on the scene and helping to save lives. Andrews Superintendent Bobby Azam was in a car behind the buses and said during a Friday night news conference that Big Spring school officials and citizens had offered support to Andrews during the difficult time. Students were fed and comforted by Big Spring ISD teachers and staff as they waited to be picked up following the accident. The accident occurred just about 2 miles from the site of a December 2016 crash that killed one person and injured 7 others, who were on an Ira Ann school van of cheerleaders heading to a playoff game. DJs continue turkey tradition for Thanksgiving by Royal McGregor. Tatum and Chris Eads, known as DJ Sox, have spent the last 6 years on their own giving to the community at Thanksgiving by donating and handing out turkeys at the Salvation Army. Prior to going out on their own 6 years ago, Tatum and Eads worked alongside Graham Brothers Entertainment and learned how to successfully run a turkey drive. Tatum explained that when Graham Brothers Entertainment discontinued their turkey drive, that it left an empty space for him and Eads. "We needed to give back to the community," Tatum said. Tatum said the turkey drive has continued to grow throughout the years. "We've built it up," Tatum said. "It was 200, now it's up to 300. The duo will pick up the turkeys around noon today and make their stops to give away the turkeys. The major stops include Salvation Army and Angel House. Tatum said Glazer's Beer and Beverage will volunteer a truck to haul all of the turkeys, and he said the general manager there will also drive the truck. All the money that Tatum and Eads receive goes to buying turkeys. Tatum said there was an extra $500 from walk-ons a year ago, and he wrote a check to the Salvation Army for its Christmas drive. "Everything is spent, nothing is kept," Tatum said. "Everything is used for the community." Tatum, who is from Claiborne, said he has done turkey drives in other towns across the country, and he said one of the places that has stood out to him the most was El Paso. "I'm just trying to make the world a better place," Tatum said. "That's one of the poorest communities I've seen behind the scenes that needed turkeys." Empty stocking. The Wood Family Foundation, $2,500. In honor of Bill Salter, $350. Today's total, $2,850. Previous total, zero. Grand total, $2,850. 2021 goal, $100,000. Want to help? Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800, Odessa, or the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, 79761. Want to know more? Call 332-0738. What is it? Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2 million. Empty Stocking Funds enable the Salvation Army to provide toys and food baskets to needy families in Odessa. This year's goal is $100,000.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.